Welcome to another one of our bite-sized episodes. And Nathaniel, you've had a thought. I received text messages from you, and we've had a bit of a chat about this. So I'm curious. Would you like to start with your thoughts?
Yes. I'll kind of start off with a quick question.
Right.
You like eating. Yeah,
everyone does. Yes. We are male.
Yeah. I think women eat too, Dave. Just changes. We really should include them, right? We've probably got some of them listening to us right now. You should be a lot nicer.
Yeah. Question. What's your favorite food?
Oh, that's pretty tough. Let me put it this way. I'm going to say this because I had it last night and I really enjoyed it. I had a satay with rice, chickpea satay. It was really good.
Yeah. Now, I want you to imagine. Are you good at imagining things?
Usually.
Okay. Imagine that food if it didn't have any salt in it.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that.
Boring.
Very bland.
You think it would taste real good?
I think I'd be looking for salt.
All right. So The thought I had is to do with salt in the Bible, and Jesus talks about salt a couple of times. Mm-hmm. One of the places that Jesus talks about salt is Matthew 5:13. Mm-hmm. You want to look that up for us?
Yeah, sure. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men."
All right, so obviously this here is talking about like that flavor aspect of like with your food.
Yeah.
If you put salt in your food,
but the flavor never changed.
It didn't do anything, would that salt be any good?
Not at all.
It wouldn't be doing its job.
Hmm.
It would be useless.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus is linking this, right? He's linking this to something. So us, right? Like it's the people that he's talking about.
Yeah. Saying that we're to be the salt of the earth. Mm. So if we're to be the salt of the earth, it means we have a job to do, just like salt has a job in food.
Mm.
Another place where it mentions salt is Mark chapter 9. Verse 50. Dave, you got that one?
I will shortly. Not Mark chapter 9, verse 50 says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." Can you read that from the New King James?
Sure. "Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." That's just a little bit easier, isn't it?
It is a little bit easier to understand. But the last part there I found pretty good. Hmm. It says, you know, have salt in yourselves and have what?
Peace.
Peace. So there is a bit of a link here. We'll get into that a little bit later, I think.
Okay.
Dave, can you think of another verse that talks about salt?
Yes, I can think of one. In the writings of Paul, Paul talks about our conversation. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man."
All right, so this is talking about like how we interact with other people. Obviously, it's talking. Now, if something has been seasoned with salt, not, you know, killed with salt, not void of salt, but if it's just been seasoned nicely with salt, it makes it bearable, makes it palatable for that person to understand and digest. Okay, so that's the general understanding of salt that we see in the Bible is, you know, that seasoning sort of the effect. But I was actually having a conversation with Dave the other week, and this topic came up. And we came to a realization that that's not the only thing that salt does. Isn't that right, Dave?
Yeah, we were talking about how that salt has different applications. Like one of the applications we often think of is what we've been talking about, to make food savoury, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that salt also can make food sweet. You know what I mean? Like if you put salt in with a fruit or something like that, it actually brings out the sweetness in the fruit because it's a flavour enhancer, not just a salty enhancer.
Mm.
But then another thing that NATO brought into the conversation that I was just blown away by is the aspect of salt being used to draw out the bitterness from some things. NATO, do you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah. So what was the example we used? Was it
Eggplant.
Now, I know some people really like eggplant. I've never really been a big fan, but every now and then, someone prepares it just right. Now, I guess they must sit it in salt for a little while, and it takes some of that strong
eggplantiness.
some of that strong flavour out,
yeah.
And makes it more palatable. Now, it's not so much that you're wanting to season it with salt. It's you want to get rid of some of that other flavour.
Mm.
Not that I object to the slight salt flavour when I eat it, but it's not the main objective. And what I was thinking is, like Dave was saying, how it draws the bad flavour out to bring out the good. Sometimes in our lives, you know, we meet people, we're in contact with people that they're not a very nice type of character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we can all think of someone.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are to be the salt of the earth, perhaps we need to absorb or, how would you say it?
I think absorb's a pretty good word. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Absorb some of that negativity and not react to it so that you can bring out the good in someone else. Now, there's a couple of verses that I have here that back up this idea. First one is in Luke chapter 6 and verse 29. So, Luke chapter 6 and verse 29, and it says, we'll start at verse 28. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer also the other also. And from him who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. So what it's saying here is, you know, Don't react negatively to when someone does something bad to you.
Like retribution isn't necessarily the advised option.
So, yeah, it's saying, you know, be kind to someone, even if they are nasty to you.
Hmm.
And another verse a little bit further along in the chapter is verse 35. And it says, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil.
Hmm.
It's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Very much so. I think that's, and it's really hard to, really hard to reconcile that, isn't it? Like, I mean, our basic humanity doesn't like those sort of ideas.
No, it doesn't, but that's the way that God is, and who are we striving to be like?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And if we want the best out of someone, just like if you want the best out of some eggplant, you may need to, you know, absorb some of that negativity to allow the true flavour, the good flavour of that person to come out.
Let's not miss a point in the verse there, though. It says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again.
Hmm.
So the salt isn't actually going to get anything good out of that scenario. It's only getting the bitterness from the eggplant.
Mm.
But in getting the bitterness from the eggplant, it's actually allowing the eggplant to then produce a flavour that's enjoyable for the consumer.
Yeah, and that actually brings up a really good point, because sometimes that eggplant may be just sitting in the salt and you actually take the eggplant out, brush most of the salt off before you cook it.
Yeah,
so that salt, it has only been exposed to, you know, some bitterness.
It didn't get the nice side of it.
But it has its reward because the person eating
is grateful.
Is grateful for that salt doing that job.
And so just to, I guess, draw the line between those two dots, we may not always get the benefit of experiencing the having a good experience with someone, but sometimes just the fact that we've been in their life and we've absorbed some of the bitterness that they've had to shell out has meant that that they have been brought closer to God. And even if we don't see the results later, we may be fortunate and blessed to see that, but if they get to come closer to God as a result of us taking on some of that bitterness, then even if we don't get to reap those rewards ourselves, we can still be grateful for our part in that.
And if we are faithful, we will get to meet them, won't we?
Yes, just maybe not on this side of the second coming.
Indeed. Got a couple more verses.
Yeah, sure.
Over in Romans. David, you'd like to read them? Romans 12. Just start off with verse 20.
Therefore, if thine enemy be hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
All right, so the first part seems pretty much the same as the previous verses that we've read. That last part, what do you think of that? Heaping coals of fire on his head. That sounds nasty, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. It certainly doesn't sound like a righteous motivation for doing the good.
Ah, but does it say that it's the motivation?
So
my point to that is, if we, you're right, it's not the motivation that we should have, but it is a cause and effect scenario. Yeah.
So what do you think the application is, what it's trying to say in this verse? What does it mean by heaping coals of fire on his head?
Well, I think the text is saying, to me at least, that if we approach the bitterness of someone else with bitterness ourselves, then they're not going to be receiving any encouragement to be something other than bitter. Whereas if we approach the bitterness of someone else with kindness, hospitality, love, then they're actually going to be receiving a message of encouragement to move past their bitterness into a state of, can we say, tastiness?
That'll work for our purposes.
So where does the coals of fire fit into that?
To me, it's like when Stephen was being stoned in the book of Acts, and it says that later on that Paul had been kicking against the goads, or the pricks in another translation. It's like Paul had these coals of fire heaped on his head through the righteousness of Stephen. Mm. Not because Stephen was trying to make Paul feel bad, but because Stephen's essential goodness showed Paul his essential badness, and therefore Paul felt convicted.
So this is pricking at his conscience.
Yeah, conviction of the conscience because of something good. And it's the same way it works with God. Mm. When God reveals his goodness toward us, the Bible says it leads us to repentance. Why? Because we feel like we have to, you know, be better? No, just because we see the contrast between him and us.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that leads us to the next verse, which is, well, for me, the clincher in this idea. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Mm. Now, I think it just fits in so well with the job that, you know,
salt
does. Mm. In that, you know, by absorbing some of that negativity, mm-hmm.
So we're taking the evil out of the eggplants.
You're taking the evil out of the eggplants, which leaves room for the good food.
Mm.
Allows you to enjoy it.
Very good.
So, yeah, that was my thought.
Love the object lesson, NATO. For those of you that are listening, I just have to say that we know NATO to be somewhat the king of object lessons. So whenever there's I've heard him tell stories to kids and all the rest, and there's always a great object lesson that comes out of it. So thank you.
No worries.
Well, just to finish off, I should say that if you're enjoying this new shorter format, let us know, please, because we love feedback. We love to improve what we do. This isn't to say that we're not going to be doing any of the longer form studies on the fundamentals of Scripture. We will still be doing them, but we're interested in just giving some texture, giving some variety to what we do. And so if you've enjoyed this, send us a message. We would love to hear from you. Okay, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.